I'm Brandi Cruz. Coming up today on Undivided, allow us to introduce you to a small band of misfits that's influencing public safety policy in Seattle. Plus, the bizarre coloring book a local mom found at a public library. And as fraud reporting ramps up, so does the political blame game. That and much more coming up today on Undivided. Remember, you can support our show for just $5 a month. What a screaming deal. Go to UndividedPod.com, UndividedPod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. Hello, hello, and welcome to Undivided. Thank you for being here. Thank you so much for your commitment to giving Common Sense a comeback. I'm Brandi Cruz. So the World Cup wrapped up, and immediately Seattle Mayor Katie Wilson decided, okay, we don't have to use the brand new CCTV crime cameras that were installed around the stadium anymore. And she gave in to her far-left voter base and opted to turn them off. That's stupid for a variety of reasons, but here's the rationale she gave. She said, effective this morning, the stadium district cameras are turned off. This follows through on the commitment I made last month that these particular cameras would only be turned on for the duration of the FIFA World Cup in Seattle. And look, she had to be pressed quite a bit on the old threat of terrorism issue before she turned them on in the first place. She says, in the fall, we expect to receive the audit I announced earlier this year, which will review city policies and practices governing the use of all cameras connected to the real-time crime center and the data that they store. I believe we can keep our city safe while also protecting our privacy, blah, 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 blah. So she says they're going through this audit right now. They're going to figure out if these cameras across the city. So there's a whole network of CCTV cameras specifically in high crime, high threat, high risk areas. It's not like there's a camera on every street corner. There's cameras down at 3rd and Pike, 3rd and Pine, where there's major drug markets, as an example. And the stadium cameras were a new addition. The program was expanded under the previous mayor. And then her group of far left activists didn't want them because privacy concerns. And so they convinced her to not turn on some of the newly installed cameras. And then she agreed, I'd only turn on the stadium ones and get rid of them after the World Cup. So they're all on hold. Now, who is influencing these positions that she has? I mean, she's a socialist, right? So certainly she has her own opinions and positions that she came into office on. And she campaigned saying she's against this use of police cameras, so to speak. And so it's not necessarily a surprise, but I thought today we'd introduce you to some of the other masterminds behind some of these public safety policy positions that the socialist mayor of Seattle takes. So before she came out with this announcement, there was a rally at Seattle City Hall that happened on Tuesday from a group called R Seattle. It says, post-FIFA rally, cameras off now. Seattle Mayor Katie Wilson committed to turning off police surveillance cameras in the stadium district after the last World Cup FIFA game in Seattle. They say now more than ever, we need leaders who keep their promises to their constituents. That's why Community Not Cameras, along with other organizations working to keep our communities safe, healthy, resilient, collectively call on Mayor Wilson to follow through with her public promise to turn cameras off now in the stadium district, which, of course, she ended up doing. But I was looking at this flyer, right, and some of the people who are on it, who were featured at this very critical public safety event, talking about this critical issue of privacy and fighting crime and all the complicated in-betweens of it. So let's take a look at some of them, shall we? How about this expert in the arena? Miss Texas 1988. Okay, first of all, I think we all agree this probably wasn't actually Miss Texas 1988. This is a man, I'm pretty confident. But they say that the reason why Miss Texas 1988 was featured at this political rally is they are a local drag community advocate. What does that have to do with the issue of crime cameras and keeping a community safe and preventing acts of terrorism? Only Miss Texas 1988 knows the answer to that. All right, let's get into some more nefarious members of this group, shall we? AJ Randall, aka Alex Randall, who they list as a cybersecurity engineer. If his face looks familiar to you, it's because we've talked about Alex Randall on the show before. Alex Randall, not too long ago, put out this hit list of conservative influencers at a time when most of the people on that list, including me, were being subjected to increased threats of violence and even, yes, acts of violence. People on that list included Jonathan Cho, Cam Higbee, Katie Davis Court, and yours truly, although, Alex, I'm not a fan of that picture. You could have used a more flattering picture of me on your hit list, but not a surprise. I mean, he has a pretty popular YouTube channel. I think he's got 175,000 followers under Squid Tips. And he was out there saying, hey, you know, these are grifters, right-wing grifters, beware of them operating in the Seattle area. Not a surprise that most of the people on that list ended up being assaulted that summer, myself included. But Alex Randall, I guess, in a sense, is an expert on cameras and surveillance because he's been captured on camera doing a lot of dumb stuff like this.
Yeah, you can have the wrong opinion, dog.
Opinions don't get people killed. Why don't you show the sign? He's crashing out like this because I have a sign that says nobody should be killed if they're.
Oh, my bad. Sorry, I tripped.
Touch my stuff.
I tripped.
Yeah, it's no wonder why Alex Randall is opposed to cameras and surveillance. Because cameras have resulted in him, like in that case, getting fired from his job at Nordstrom's.
Yesterday was my last day as a Nordstrom employee because Nordstrom has joined a growing list of companies who are giving in to a hate mob. The mob went after me because they thought that taking away my job would silence me, would make me afraid, would ruin my life. But really, all it's done is unshackle me from the only things restraining my behavior in the first place.
Yeah, that's someone who definitely seems to be mentally well and not a danger to the community at all. But there you have a guy who goes out there, publicly lists his enemies, goes out and attacks those enemies, and then as a result of that being captured on camera, gets rightfully fired from his job at Nordstrom's. And he, you know, is angry about that. And so, yeah, I guess he doesn't want what he really doesn't want. Maybe he doesn't mind cameras, but he minds the criminal conduct that cameras can capture. And he doesn't want the criminal conduct of himself and the criminal conduct of anyone who might see the hit list that he puts out on people who he disagrees with politically. He doesn't want the criminal conduct of people who might attack us on camera. So criminals tend to not like cameras very much. They tend to not want their behavior captured on camera. Now, there was like at least one well-known name on this flyer of the list of speakers at the Cameras Off Now rally, and that is State Representative Sean Scott. Of course, Sean's been on our show. I would call him even, dare I say, a friend of the show. Sean Scott, though, is an avowed socialist. He is opposed to the crime cameras, which I find very interesting because remember when he was on his show and we were talking about and I asked him about good examples of socialism?
A good example of socialism working well somewhere, this is a really, really cool question. I think of Cuba in particular.
Cuba in particular. Sean Scott, you know who really loves to surveil their citizens? Cuba. Socialist governments in general, really. That's kind of what they're known for. You look at any socialist or communist government in the world, and one of the cornerstones of them keeping their population under control is keeping their population under constant surveillance. So I don't even know if Sean Scott, the socialist, understands what socialists even do and what socialist leaders even do. They love surveillance. They need surveillance. They rely on surveillance to make sure they can keep their population under control. So here you have a socialist state lawmaker at a rally urging the mayor of Seattle to turn off the crime cameras because of privacy issues and government surveillance issues, yet he looks to Cuba as this glowing example of some wonderful society, and Cuba employs widespread surveillance of its citizens. Does it make sense to you? Doesn't make very much sense to me, but these are the people, like it or not, who are dictating and helping to dictate some of the public policy in the city of Seattle. That's terrifying stuff. I call them band of misfits, and they're all led by the queen misfit herself, Seattle Mayor Katie Wilson. I mean, who's, you know, like a newly popped out fawn, like a baby deer, can't quite find her footing. It's just fallen all over the place. And so these are the sort of people propping her up, the activist community that she was born out of. Miss Texas 1988, Alex Randall, Sean Scott. Do you really think that those are the people who should be dictating public safety policy in the city of Seattle? I sure don't. Terrifying stuff. All right, let's switch gears to fraud really quickly. A lot of credit to our friends at the Center Square, Carlene Johnson. They continue to try to get answers from the state of Washington about some of these daycares operating within the state that don't seem to be daycares at all, but are getting an awful lot of money from the state and the federal government. They put out a new article. Seattle fails to investigate, or state fails to investigate daycares with no children, despite media reports. And so in this article, Carlene talks about the fact that, and a lot of this is credited to the fraud that was exposed in Minneapolis, looking at daycare facilities there. And you might recall, you know, right after that happened, a lot of independent journalists across the country started to go out and knock on doors and try to see if some of these daycares were actually daycares. And so there was some of that work done, what, 6 months or so ago at the beginning of the year, I guess, is when that was going on. But it hasn't stopped since. And the Center Square said that they have been going still to doors of daycare centers that are getting hundreds of thousands of dollars from the state. And, you know, they'll knock on the door and that's the address listed of the daycare center that's getting money. And the same thing happens nearly every time. Here's a video.
We found millions in taxpayer dollars going to alleged home daycare providers across Washington state. But when we went to those addresses on multiple occasions, we found little to no evidence of daycare activity. In one case, a location that received more than $200,000 told us there was no daycare there at all. Was there a daycare, we asked, here in the past? The answer was no. Is there a daycare that's operated from here?
No.
There's not a daycare?
No.
Oh, did you used to have a daycare here?
No.
No? Okay. Excuse me? I was trying to find out if there was a daycare operation here.
Yeah.
If there was a daycare on this property? At this location, records show more than $200,000 in payments over 9 months. And updated figures on a government website show the facility is continuing in 2026 to receive monthly payments of between $20,000 and $28,000 just in the last few months.
Is that not problematic to any reasonable person? Could there be an innocent excuse for it? I suppose maybe the address is listed incorrectly and it's actually operating somewhere else. Okay, well, then that would be easy to find out, right? There's got to be numbers and things they have in a database that the state has. If it's giving all this money, $68,000 a month to a daycare, they're clearly not that address. Where are the checks going? Where's the money going and all of that? So yeah, could there be an innocent excuse? Sure. Could the state very easily figure out what that rationale is? Absolutely. But rather than, I don't know, take a look into and follow up on Carlene's investigative reporting, the state and Democratic politicians, as you know, they've been on this trajectory of just blaming and vilifying the journalists, similar to what happened to Nick Shirley. I mean, California is in the midst of passing their Stop Nick Shirley Act, which rather than spend time looking at the fraud that Nick Shirley has been uncovering in California, they decided to try to increase protections for people getting that money so that people like Nick Shirley can't go out and find them as easily or can't go out and ask them questions. So it's the same playbook. Rather than looking into the fraud or the potential for fraud that's being uncovered, they want to attack the messenger. They want to attack the journalists who are doing the difficult work. Here's a conversation Carlene Johnson had with the state auditor.
We haven't seen any evidence of fraud.
What?
But we're still in the process of doing the audit. If you have a concern, there are people that you can give that information to. Give it, send it to us. You have a credible incident. Send it to us on our Hotmail line.
Publicly reporting it. I didn't put the physical house number on there.
I'm struggling with this because I think people are jumping to conclusions because of this.
With all due respect, this doesn't look well on your office. You're doing the audit right now. I'm happy to send you the fiscal.wa.gov screenshots that show a home daycare provider that's licensed for 9, shows he's got 6 openings, so 3 kids maybe, even if he's getting the max taxpayer subsidy if you've got babies, that's $2,200 a month.
If you have that concern, you should be sending it to DCYF.
And you should be investigating it, should you not? Honestly, the people are...
It's not... We don't investigate... I mean,
who does that?
We would receive the information.
Wow.
But we are not going... We, the auditor's office, do not physically visit
doing an audit right now, Adam, of these providers. Why not include the big players where it's so obvious, like this might be fraud because this guy got $250,000 in 5 months last year. I mean, that's
well, we
so
can provide
obvious.
You with information on how we select what in, you know, what
wow.
payments were auditing.
It is the public is demanding answers and no, and everyone is deflecting saying we're looking at them. They're all audited. How could you possibly explain someone being given that much in taxpayer
subsidies? If you have credible evidence that
so
you
do.
Should
it's
be,
on the fiscal.wa.gov website.
You should be going to the Attorney General's office and
he said he wouldn't look into it. He said that's his client DCYF and they won't investigate. That's what I was told to my face.
That is stunning. That's what, as Carlene's trying to say, you guys, it's so obvious. They want her to do their job for them. That's essentially the Pat McCarthy, the state auditor, elected to do this kind of work. Oh, Carlene, if you have concerns, take it to someone. She's on a Zoom with you. You're the state auditor. She took it to you. And then you're sending, oh, put it through a portal. Oh, email it over to a portal. And then the flacky, the PR flacky. Oh, well, you know, we don't. She's on an interview with you. And it's not the media's job to be the investigator. I mean, the media looks into these things, right? And what Carlene is saying is not, this is fraud, I'm 100% sure. What she's saying is, this seems suspicious. What do you say to it? Oh, we're auditing just generally, and we don't go knock on doors. Well, maybe you should. How are you supposed to audit whether there's actual fraud and things going on? You can look at the numbers and say, wow, they're getting this much money for three children in there. That doesn't make any sense. Any person with a half a brain cell can figure out that doesn't make any sense. So how can you actually do an audit if you don't go and do that very simple, simple task of, hey, we got to confirm this. Let's go knock on the door or let's find another way to confirm how many kids are there, where they're at, if they're even doing what they say they're doing. Otherwise, your audit means literally nothing. But for her over and over, well, send us something. Send us something. Is it credible? Contact the Attorney General's office. Ma'am, it's literally your job. It's literally why you were sent to Olympia by voters. Anybody should be able to watch that exchange and have some very serious concerns about whether the auditor's office even cares, whether the AG's office even cares, and whether Democrats are just too proud to admit that they had literally no controls in place to oversee millions upon millions upon millions of dollars, state and federal dollars, or whether they're doing it intentionally to pad people's pockets. And so they're just mad that people are starting to get wise to it and find out. That is outrageous. A lot of credit to Carlene for continuing to push on this issue. On the fraud front as well, you know, it's one thing to say, hey, we, you know, realize there's some concerns with money and how it's spent, and we're going to put all of these oversights in place. I mean, that's what the city of Seattle and King County are doing right now in regard to the King County Regional Homelessness Authority. Like, there was some suspicious handling of funds. So what do they do? Oh, we're going to hire an external auditor to go in and to deal with that. Like, good start. You should have probably done that from the beginning, but like, let's also see what that auditor finds. So there's a couple new like positions that governments are hiring in Washington State and at the local level that on its face, I think they're great things, but it'll really depend on what they do. So the state auditor's office, for instance, has established a new division of special investigations that they say will encompass our fraud investigation, whistleblower, and citizen hotline program. This step reflects our ongoing commitment to a coordinated, proactive, responsive approach to this important work. So a woman named Brandy Pritchard is going to oversee this newly created division as the director of special investigations. On its face, awesome. Like that is great. I think that's a good use of taxpayer resources to have somebody on that. But given the response we just heard from the auditor, who doesn't seem concerned when presented with very concerning examples of possible or likely fraud, who is this Brandy Pritchard going to be working under? The state auditor. So if that's the state auditor's demeanor when confronted with these really concerning things, is that going to be the demeanor of everyone underneath the state auditor? That concerns me as well. Please tell me that now, especially if you're going to have an actual division of special investigations for fraud, that division would immediately take what they see in the news or what Carlene is telling them or any reporter is telling them and run with it and say, thank you. That's what blows my mind. Pat McCarthy, if you really like, you're all about investigating fraud and all this stuff, would you not say to Carlene, thank you so much for bringing this to our attention. We appreciate it. We're going to dig into it and we'll get back to you with what we find. That's the only reasonable answer for someone in a position like that. So I totally am open to the possibility, and more attention on fraud is always good. But I need to see some proof in the pudding. So we'll see what this Division of Special Investigations into Fraud is going to do. Also having issues at the county level in King County. So there have been a bajillion headlines about fraud, misappropriation of funds, et cetera, within the homeless industrial complex, within, you know, youth services, race and social justice. And it seems to be getting to a fever pitch where even Democrats, at least vocally, seem to be taking it seriously. Like the fact that you had some Democrats that called for the King County Regional Homelessness Authority to just be dissolved because of its misspending. I think that is absolutely progress. But now King County is adding a new position. So they have crafted an ordinance related to the prevention, detection, and response to fraud, waste, and abuse. It says they're amending county code to establish an inspector general division within the Office of Public Complaints focused on investigating suspected fraud, waste, and abuse of county administered monies. And they're establishing a fraud hotline to receive reports and complaints from the public of suspected fraud, waste, or abuse of county administered monies. And again, I think that is a very good thing. But the proof is going to be in the pudding. Is it just going to be another taxpayer-funded position that doesn't do much of anything and doesn't take the report seriously? Or is there going to be action? Here is King County Councilmember Regan Dunn.
An inspector general will give King County the teeth it needs to conduct rigorous oversight, pursue independent investigations, uncover improper conduct, and ensure meaningful repercussions. This legislation will limit the ability of potential bad actors to utilize King County as a free handout and ensure that any attempts to potentially defraud King County are held accountable for their actions.
Let's hope. Let's hope. And I really will say, all of this, I don't think happens without the Nick Shirley quality leering video in Minneapolis that got everyone to have this renewed interest in where our taxpayer money is being spent. But it's one thing for citizens to be interested, for journalists to be interested, but the people who have the power to actually hold individuals accountable and make a difference, they need to be all in as well. And it really should be a non-divisive, non-partisan issue to go after people who are stealing or wasting our hard-earned money. Coming up next, the Department of Justice putting Washington's elections chief on notice over our voter registries. First, if you are a small to mid-sized landlord in the state of Washington, consider becoming a member of the Rental Housing Association of Washington. Wonderful advertisers on our show for several years now, and they are really working hard to try to help landlords who are going through some pretty difficult policy periods in the city of Seattle, in King County, and across Washington State. So if you're a member of RHA, they can help you on an individual basis with screening and forms for prospective tenants. And they're also advocating on your behalf all year long. They've, and even right now in Spokane and Seattle, they have ordinances that they're working on that would put even more regulations on landlords. So those are the sorts of things that RHA gets involved in on behalf of housing providers. And then, of course, they'll be down in Olympia when the new session begins. So go to RHAWA.org. RHAWA.org. It is Washington's trusted resource, empowering housing providers. All right, the saga over the beef between the Department of Justice and the federal government and states that maybe have questionable voter rolls continues. So the Department of Justice has now sent a letter to Steve Hobbs, the Secretary of State of Washington. Specifically, this is coming from Harmeet Dhillon with the U.S. Department of Justice's Civil Rights Division. It says, Dear Secretary Hobbs, this letter is sent to you as the Chief Election Officer of the State of Washington. It serves as notice of the federal laws applicable to state and local elections officials to ensure free, fair, and transparent elections. Also attached to this letter is a memorandum titled Federal Law Requirements for State and Local Elections Officials, which outlines various responsibilities under federal law and the potential criminal penalties for those who fail to carry out their duties. Oh, a little bit of a threat there of potential criminal penalties. And it goes in there and it's talking about, in addition to the Civil Rights Division's authority to seek injunctive relief for violations of these laws, we are also authorized to prosecute criminal violations. They say that it is a crime for an election official in a federal election to knowingly and willfully deprive, defraud, or attempt to deprive or defraud the residents of a state of fair and impartially conducted election process by the procurement, casting, or tabulation of ballots that are known by the election official to be materially false, fictitious, or fraudulent under the laws of the state in which the election is held. It says, for example, knowingly retaining non-citizens on Washington's state voter registration list and sending such individuals ballots, then counting those ballots would constitute a crime. So what the federal government is saying, and again, this is the latest letter in a long back and forth between not only our state, but other blue states that they're having difficulty getting voter rolls and voter data from, is because our state is a Scouts Honor state. We, you know, register, as you guys know, but worth repeating, you just have to attest on a form that you are allowed to vote, like when you're getting your driver's license, and they'll sign you up to vote. So if you're a non-citizen, now it's a crime to, you know, say you're allowed to vote and vote when you're not, you don't qualify to vote. But I think about people coming into this state. We're a sanctuary state. We have a lot of illegals here. As a result of that, they can get a driver's license. It's lawful for them to do that. There's probably language barriers. I am sure that there are non-citizens who, even in good faith, it was an accident, you know, checked a box that they weren't supposed to check and are getting ballots and might think they're from another country. They might think, well, if I'm getting sent a ballot, surely I can fill the ballot out. And the problem is that the way that our state and the voter data and what the federal government wants, there's really no way, unless they produce it, that the federal government can go through the list, compare social security numbers, and figure out, do you have illegals voting in your elections and on the voting rolls? So it's really just a bad system all around. It makes no sense. And I've had Steve Hobbs on the show to talk about that problem with the Scouts Honor, I can vote. So we did reach out to the Secretary of State's office for comment on this latest letter. Here's what Secretary of State Steve Hobbs' office told us. Our office received another needless letter from the Department of Justice on July 7th. We once again find ourselves reviewing a letter from the DOJ to determine whether their request is legal, and we'll share more information when we have it. The DOJ is accelerating down a slippery slope of threatening personal legal action against election administrators. Attempts to revive disproven claims of rigged elections will not deter election professionals from doing their job of overseeing accessible, accurate, auditable elections. Thanks for your patience. Now, here's what I take issue with there. Now, I mean, threatening Steve Hobbs, we're talking about a lot of state laws and policies that have been in place for many years that go into our voting system and how it's handled. It's not all Steve Hobbs' fault. And I'm not saying that, I mean, he should come out. And I had this conversation with him on my show. He was never able to give me a good answer as to why we would not just require proof of citizenship in order to register to vote. You just got to do it one time. And he didn't have a good answer for that. And that is on him. And I think that's the part of him, as moderate as a Democrat as he is, he still has to win elections, right? And I think if he takes the federal government's side on that issue, then they're going to cast him out. They're going to toss him aside as quick as they did Graham Plattner. And so, yeah, he's probably concerned about that. I can't read his mind, but come on. I think Steve Hobbs is a smart guy, and I think he knows it is absolutely stupid to allow people to register to vote without showing proof of citizenship. But he's got to still have a D next to his name in order to keep his job. But one of the parts that bothers me about that is he says attempts to revive disproven claims of rigged elections will not deter us. Look, it's not just people who think the 2020 election was stolen who are concerned about this. I don't think the 2020 election was stolen. I think Donald Trump lost the 2020 election. But I also know that elections aren't perfect, and we have some very clear issues with ours. So if we can all be adults for a second, put aside, you know, any animus you have towards Donald Trump or any motivations that the federal government might have, you know, absent just wanting free and fair elections, let's actually take a look at our election system and figure out ways to improve it. Because that doesn't hurt anybody, right? Let's just figure out ways to improve it, to restore trust in elections, and to make sure that only citizens are voting. And if you say that your goal is to make sure only citizens are voting, then the most obvious way to do that is to require proof of citizenship when someone wants to sign up to vote or to get a driver's license. But that's too political, so you can't do that. So now we have these threatening letters back and forth. All right, we got a doozy of an unbelievable coming up next. With a mom who stumbled upon an LGBTQ coloring book at a local library, we'll go through the pages of it And maybe you'll want a copy. Maybe you want a color. Adults color all the time now to reduce anxiety. So we could even print off some pages for you guys to color. I think you'll love, love the pages of this coloring book. First, if you're trying to save some money as a family right now, times are tough with gas prices, etc., reach out to our friends at Firstmark Insurance. I've been just singing Firstmark's praises for years now. And before that, I used to listen to my friend Dory Monson on the radio talk about Firstmark. They were an advertiser on his show. And I always put it off and put it off and put it off. And gosh, I wish I'd called Firstmark sooner, because first of all, the customer service is second to none. You don't have to go out there and handle your insurance needs on your own and do it sort of piecemeal. They do everything for you. Even when it comes to your renewals, they're checking in like, hey, we were able to save you money this year. Your new renewals are less. That's what happened for Mike and I. And it was just so nice. I mean, you have to call them, pick up the phone. Somebody answers in Washington State, which is just great. But we have so many Undivided viewers and listeners who are saving hundreds of dollars a month. And they say the same thing that I once said. I wish I'd done that sooner. Why did I not do that sooner? So become a member of the Firstmark family like me, Nicole, so many Undivided viewers and listeners. Go to firstmarkinsurance.com, firstmarkinsurance.com. The very best part is they work for you, not the insurance companies. So they always have your best interest in mind. And with that, let's get to our segment. Unbelievable. All right. Some of our very best stories come from tips that we get. This is one of them. We got an email from Hannah. Hannah says, I was at my local library in Cedro Woolley with my 10-year-old, and this was available. Seattle's LGBTQ plus Center Queer and Trans Coloring Book. Brought to you by Seattle's LGBTQ plus Center and the Washington State Department of Health. She said, I'm mad this is in our small community when it should be kept in Seattle. I don't even want it in Seattle, Hannah, as you'll learn why. So coloring book, that's the front of it, Seattle's LGBTQ Center. And again, it is weird, right? It's in Cedro Woolley, but it's Seattle's LGBTQ Center. And then it says, thank you to the Washington State Department of Health for supporting this coloring book, which of course means that they helped to fund the coloring book, right? And then on here, and I think this is part of a key of why they have this coloring book elsewhere, like at the Skagit County Public Library, it has the address for Seattle's LGBTQ Center, which terrifyingly is at 400 East Pine Street. So one block away from the worst drug den in the city, they have this address and the building hours and the youth drop-in hours and the website gaycity.org. So they're trying to get, you know what they're trying to do? They're trying to get LGBTQ plus kids from all over the state to flee to Seattle, go to this youth drop-in center in the drug neighborhood, and then they'll disappear them because state law allows them to disappear kids if their parents don't like their gender identity or their sexual orientation. And I know some of you might be thinking, okay, Brandy, it's not that serious. No, it is. All of this, we've seen it. We've seen it. All of these resources working together. We've literally had stories on it. Eleanor missing from her family for months because she thought she was a boy and the system and the schools disappeared her. So yes, a coloring book can be that nefarious. But let's see what the pages of this coloring book show, shall we? Again, public library funded with your money from the Washington State Department of Health. I'll allow you to decide whether anything in here screams Washington State Department of Health. All right, little coloring book there. There's a flag. Is that a, oh no, it's not an American flag. Okay. Well, it could be if you wanted to make it into one, but I'm pretty sure it's meant to be a pride flag. It says, gender is a spectrum. He, she, zer, Zay, Zem, Fay, Other. There's ones on here I've never even heard of. Fay, F-A-E, Z-I-R, X-E-M. And then this page is probably my favorite. Silence is violence. Silence is violence. Ah, yes, the battle cry of the socialist left. Silence is violence. Also, not a particularly difficult page to color. I think a child of any age could probably color that one in. All right, let's move on. This one's strange. It has a little dog-looking thing. Sobriety is queer. What does that even mean? What does that even mean? Sobriety is queer. I guess in this thing, queer is like cool or something. So, and I agree if that's what it is, but just say sobriety is cool. I don't mind you teaching kids that sobriety is cool. Sobriety is queer. Let's keep going. Black trans lives matter. All right. I agree. You know, I think all lives matter, but I can't say all lives matter. I think it was Black Lives Matter, but then it's Black Trans Lives Matter. Okay. And again, coloring book at a public library. And I still don't know what in here has anything to do with the State Department of Health. Then it's got this one, a person in a burqa, still queer, it says. And the person in the burqa is flying the trans pride flag, which again, in most Islamic countries, they would be murdered for that. But the United States is quite a welcoming place. So still queer, whatever that means. Let's keep moving on here. This one is so rich to me. Let trans kids grow. How about we let kids grow? And then, you know, you can figure out as an adult if you want to be trans. But instead of letting kids grow, you're encouraging them to change their biological functions, to cut off their breasts and their genitals, to make sure they can never have children again. I feel like this is very counter to the efforts to trans children. And then it has thank you to contributors, and it has the social media handles of some of the people who created this artwork, which again is, I think, encouraging the kids to go follow them, probably be indoctrinated further. But all of this is strange. There's no reason our tax money should be paying for it. There's no reason it should be in a public library. And I think the goal here is to get these kids, to indoctrinate these kids from all over the state, get them to come to Seattle to the LGBTQ plus queer center, where they can get access to information on how they can get hormone therapy, how they can get gender therapy, how they can be, you know, taken away from their families and get access to free lawyers. It is all really, really nefarious. So Hannah, thank you for sending that to us. If I were you, I would take every single one of these coloring books out of that library and I would throw them in the trash. And I know that's probably theft, but I'm encouraging it. I'm encouraging it. Take all of those out.
Throw it in the trash in the library then.
Yeah, because it's still in the library. Good point. It's still in the library. You haven't stolen it. You just threw it in the trash. You have rehomed it into the trash. Speaking of education in the state, we know that it's not going well in Washington. You know, Mississippi is overtaking us on some of the basics of education. And just because we've been focused on stuff like this, radical gender ideology, political nonsense has just seeped into our public schools, courtesy the teachers' union. But the head of the public school system has a way that he thinks is going to better prepare kids to graduate from college. Chris Reichdahl's office put this out. State superintendent proposes statewide post-secondary launch course for all graduating seniors. Now, in theory, I don't disagree with the idea. So it says civic engagement, financial literacy, a completed resume, applying to college, joining the military, registering to vote, researching financial aid. Despite their importance, Washington's graduating seniors do not have consistent access to these critical foundations for lifelong financial and educational success. It says State Superintendent Chris Reichdahl has proposed to close that gap, a senior year post-secondary launch course, a year-long course taken by all graduating seniors that is built with their next steps in mind. So it's like a life lessons class that all seniors will have to take. He says students are graduating from the K-12 system without consistent access to the tools needed to support their independence, Reichdahl said. Young people are taking on loans and credit card debt without knowledge of the implications. They don't always know what to add to their resume or how to register to vote. We can fix that. Now, when he says, oh, they're graduating and they're not prepared for the real world, well, that is kind of a you problem, right? I mean, part of it is parents getting their kids ready for the real world, but part of the reason they're not graduating prepared is you have fostered this environment where failure isn't really failure, misbehavior isn't really misbehavior, consequences aren't a real thing, and so they've learned jack, and then you stole their education from them for a year and a half, 2 years roughly, so of course they're not prepared to take on the real world. So in theory, I don't mind, and I think it's a really good thing to teach kids financial literacy, the basics of building a resume. But you're not even teaching kids like math and reading. So, I mean, I think we need to improve it all around to get kids out the door in better shape, but this isn't going to do it. But then I think there's always something more nefarious. I always have to think, like, what is a nefarious reason for this? Because these people cannot be trusted. There's always some sort of political, social angle in mind. So it says, as part of the post-secondary launch course, students would be required, okay, required, to complete their high school and beyond plan, build a resume, apply to a job, college or the military, apply for financial aid, and register or pre-register to vote. There it is. There it is. Not a doubt in my mind. The school system in Washington State, which has spent a lot of time indoctrinating these kids in far leftist Marxist ideology, they are going to require, in order to graduate, that you register or pre-register to vote. And what do you think is the are the chances that that's going to be done, you know, in a hands-off way, that they're not going to be pushed to vote in a certain way once they turn 18? Sorry, they can't be trusted. That's what this is all about. They want to force every single senior to register or pre-register to vote. It's outrageous. All right, coming up next, we'll get to some national Trump. Really mad at Spain. Poor Spain. Woke up on the wrong side of the bed today. Trump's like, who am I going to cut off from the success of the United States today? It's going to be Spain. First, if you're thinking about selling your home, reach out to our friend Wes Jones at sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com. Wes and his team have a great marketing strategy, and you need it right now if you're listing your home, because there's a ton of listings on the market, but there's not as many people, because people are leaving the state, there's not as many people coming in to buy homes in the state. So your house has to stand out. Wes and his team excel at that. This is from Evan W. Gives him 5 stars. We had a tough multifamily transaction with a buyer who was often unreasonable and difficult. Wes stayed professional, kept the deal together, pushed it to the finish line when it could have easily blown up. That takes grit and experience. I appreciate the effort and look forward to the next deal. So, how can Wes help your home stand out? 1, the Listing Boost Concierge service. You're not going to find a lot of real estate agents that offer this. It's totally comprehensive. He's coming in, he's looking at the other listings in the market. He wants your listing to be the one that gets the most eyeballs on it, most feet in the door. So, he can help you with, you know, does a pre-inspection program, which I think is cool. So, there's no surprises at the end. And then as part of the pre-inspection, they go into their Listing Boost Concierge service. Like, hey, we know there are these potential issues. We need to, you know, fix some things, upgrade some things. And he can even make sure you don't have to pay for that until closing. It's all about getting the most value out of your home. So go to sellwithwes.com. Sellwithwes.com. It really just is a better way to sell your home. And Wes is an awesome guy. So sellwithwes.com, sellwithwes.com. All right, some national news. President Trump not happy with Spain and its lack of contributions to NATO.
I didn't speak to Spain. Spain is a wasted cause. We don't want to do any trade business with Spain anymore, by the way. I'd like you to cut it up. Spain is a terrible partner in NATO. They don't participate. They don't pay. I don't want anything to do with Spain. Cut off all trade with Spain, please, including visits. Okay, we don't want anything to do. Watch them come running back. Oh, they'll come running back. They treat this man terribly. And this man's a good man, too. Great man. They're lucky they have him. But Spain doesn't agree to anything. And you shouldn't carry him. I mean, you sort of automatically carry because you're protecting an area. So they're there. So they probably figured they have to protect us, right? But we don't have to. We don't have to trade with them. I don't want to do any more trade with them. All right?
Yes, sir.
Take it immediately. Don't even talk to
them. Who is he talking to?
They're hopeless.
This is peak Trump. It just pops into his mind. And he goes over to some guy. I don't know who he's talking to off camera. Is it Marco? It didn't sound like Marco. He's like, no more. We're not trading with Spain anymore. And can you just, the Spain's probably watching like, oh no, you know, this is really falling apart in real time. So we'll see if he really means it and if they're just literally going to cut off
trade with Spain. Well, they say they have a communist leader, so.
Yeah, I mean, you know.
He's on a anti-communism.
He is. He really hates the commies, as he should, right? He also talked about what's going on with Iran and the inability to close a deal with them.
To me, I think it's over. I don't want to deal with them anymore. They're scum. You know what scum is? They're scum. They're sick people. They're led by sick people. And they're vicious, violent people. And if they had a nuclear weapon, they'd use it. As far as I'm concerned, it's over. I'll speak to our negotiators. They want to negotiate. They're good people. Steve Witkoff, Jared Kushner. But they have to come back to me. As far as I'm concerned, it's just a waste of time dealing with them. They're liars. We make a deal, and if I make a deal with him, we have a deal, and he goes out, he talks. We make a deal. Everyone's agreed. No nuclear weapon. We make a deal. They go outside, talk to the press. They say, we never even talked about it. There's something wrong with them. They're cuckoo. As far as I'm concerned, it's over.
So we'll see what that means. I mean, could have serious implications, but the guy just, scum. Do you know what that means? Do you know what scum means? So Trump was really on one today, sitting next to the Secretary General of NATO, who went on to have a press conference. And I think it's a reporter in the room. I haven't seen the name of this reporter or the publication. They clearly have sort of an agenda or a slant, which, whatever, by all means. So here, listen to this question this reporter asked the NATO Secretary General.
Mark, you sit next to Donald Trump in moments where he talks about conquering Greenland, talks about lashing out at allies like Spain, starting trade wars, things that it doesn't seem like the old Mark Rutte would approve of. Does this have any effect on your self-respect when you sit next to him like that and say nothing?
Wow.
You know, what I always do is acknowledge when praise is due. And I think we should praise Donald Trump for the fact that NATO is so much stronger. Of course, it has to do with the Russian threat. It has to do with the war in Ukraine. But it very much also has to do with President Trump delivering now what since Eisenhower, the United States tried to achieve, equalizing spending between the U.S. and Europe. And it makes Europe stronger. It makes Europe more relevant for the United States as a partner. So that is the transformative character of this summit, of what happened in The Hague, the implementation since The Hague. This summit as a point in time where we take stock, and I think that is extremely important. And when it comes to Greenland, I already explained, we had a meeting in Davos, and I said I agree with you when it comes to Russia, when it comes to China gaining access to the high north, but let's do this together. We have NATO for this. Let's work together on this. This is exactly what we are doing.
Yeah. So a reporter wants him to be like, yeah, Trump is a bully and all this stuff. Oh, don't you have any self-respect? He's like, actually, Trump's been great for NATO. Trump's made us stronger. We thank President Trump for what he's doing. So that didn't go how that reporter expected it to go. So what to do about Iran? What to do about Iran? President Trump's right. I mean, these people are psychopaths. And that's the challenge, right? They don't care if their own people suffer and die. Much different in the United States. Like they don't care if they go to war and it costs their citizens absolutely everything. They don't care about the opinion of their citizens when it comes to going to war against the most powerful force on the planet. So it's a much different, I mean, what do you do? And Trump just says, I'm done with them. I'm done negotiating. And he does, you know, it does not look good for the president. I mean, they said that this would last 4 days. And now look at where we are now. It's going to be a difficult midterms. The cost of gasoline is through the roof. So what will President Trump do? What does it mean to like put an end to it? I asked you guys, I think I've asked this before, and I wanted to see whether your opinions have shifted. So at this stage, do you support sending American troops into Iran? Because I think any sort of like widespread takedown of the regime in totality would have to require U.S. troops on the ground. So, Nicole, at this juncture, would you support sending U.S. troops into Iran?
Well, I'm not a military expert. I'm not sure if
I told you that before. That's what I hired you for. So I don't know. Now, but I think you put that on your resume.
I think we can maybe focus on air first. Like, yeah. I think we could continue with that, ramp that up, and then see if troops are still required, because it seems like they're not very strong. And we're giving them a lot of chances, and they're saying no, obviously, and they're just delaying. And there's got to be some tactic to them delaying. So I'm a Trump. Like, let's take care of this problem.
And I'm not saying that Trump wants to put U.S. troops in Iran, but he's sort of like, we have to finish it. But I don't see finishing it without U.S. troops on the ground.
I'd like to see it done without troops on the ground, but I don't know.
Yeah, at this point, I'm still a no. I'm not saying my mind can't be changed. I'm still a no, though. And most subscribers, 75% of subscribers who took our poll on Patreon, Locals, and X are also a no. Ed says, keep up the aerial bombardment. Barb says, Iran obviously never keeps its promise. Unless we totally abandon the original objectives, they're going to have to be dealt with force to comply.
Negotiate with terrorists. I feel like that's the number one rule for a lot of people, and I don't know why that's not.
Well, I think you have to go the diplomatic route first. And there was a lot of their allies around Iran who started to put pressure on them and got on the U.S. side of things. And Trump has a great relationship with leaders in the Middle East. So, yeah, I'm not a foreign affairs expert either. But I feel like at this point, you've run out of the diplomatic solutions.
It's a yes or no. Again, the negotiating, they're not negotiators. They're a yes or no, and it's a no.
Yeah. Samantha says, yes, go finish this. Let the people put in their own leader. Don says, I think we can achieve our objectives with bombing drones and such without boots on the ground. We'll end with Bob Runnels. I voted for no ground troops, but I'm getting closer to agreeing to troops to end this endless war. Is it too hopeful that ground missions could precisely eradicate weapons until all the disparate Iranian factions surrender? I don't know. I don't know, Bob. I think I am not an expert in that arena. And if Marco Rubio wants troops on the ground and he comes out and says it, then maybe I agree. But I don't know. I feel like he's got a little cooler of a head than Trump. So if Marco is in for troops, I'm in for troops too, you know. But I'm also not, yeah, I'm not in the military. I'm not a military family. I'm not going there to pay the ultimate sacrifice. And so I never want to be like wishy-washy with sending troops in. Like if Marco Rubio, U.S. military decides this is the only path to stop the threat of Iran, then I might be in favor of it. All right. Let's get to comments from the live stream, shall we? I'm in a mood today.
Oh, I know you are. You are.
Having a great time.
I know. It's probably that.
I don't know if my attorneys will let me talk about this. Let's go for it. No, I'm just, I'm in a fight mood because the other option is flight and I'm not going to flee. And I was reminded yesterday, I was on the phone with someone, and I won't say who, but I was just talking to him about how I continue to be stressed over all the lawfare that's being thrown at us. And he said, Brandy, the process is the punishment. Remember, the process is the punishment. And I need to be reminded about that is this stuff we're going through, the purpose of it is to frustrate me. Yep. The purpose of it is to make me have to spend money. The right. purpose of it is to give me things to do, to occupy my time that aren't this show.
And
the reason for it, right. The process is the punishment. Right. You're the working. Process is the punishment. Our show has grown so much that they want to try to trip us up. And I don't have to revisit all the legal stuff, but we've got these bogus PDC complaints against us because I can't have an opinion on political issues. Okay. And then we're in the middle of our press pass lawsuit, which is in the discovery stages. And it's wild to me what we're going through because, like, we're suing the state of Washington to force them to give us press passes. It's mm-hmm. me, Ari Hoffman, Jonathan Cho. And this has been going on for a while now. But again, it's just sort of in the nerdy behind the stages stuff. But part of that stuff is obscene. I mean, the state of Washington is spending hundreds of thousands of dollars to keep three conservative members of the press from coming down to Olympia like a couple times a year to ask questions of elected leaders and to sit on the floor of the House. And the kind of stuff that we might have to give them as part of discovery, like the government, in order to prove I'm a member of the media, wants my text messages and my phone calls and my emails. They want us to open our books to them. And it's like, I have nothing to hide, but that's not the point. It's not the point. Let's look at the books and the text messages and the phone calls and the emails of Seattle Times reporters and of every other journalist in the state. Like, I should not have to show the government the inner workings of my life in order to what? Have the government say, okay, you're a member of the press. It's wild what's happening.
It's dystopian. So that conservatives don't push back in this
right
state.
It's dystopian. That's and again crazy. And I tell my attorneys, like, look, at the end of the day, I don't have anything to hide. I don't have anything I'm mm-hmm. embarrassed of. I really think the government believes that there's some big fat, like, you know, oh, we're funded by these right-wing dark money secret. We don't have any secret funding. Our funding our funding sources, oh, our advertisers, yeah, we do ads for them on the show. It's not a secret. Oh, Brandy's doing stuff for Let's Go. Yeah, I advertise it. And I'm like, I'm going to be at this rally and mm-hmm. I'm going to speak at this rally. None of it is a secret. I'm an open book. We have people who pay $5 a month to support our show. Very similar to how the Seattle Times is funded, how other news organizations. We have no secret funding mechanism. I'm not part of some dark, network that meets undercover and they send a courier over with hundreds of thousands of dollars to influence my public opinion. It's just not true. And so it's wild to see how abusive the government can be when the government chooses to be abusive. Mm-hmm. And they're being very abusive. And they want a look at every facet of my life, whether relevant or not relevant. And I had to tell Nicole, you know, don't delete any emails or text messages. Not that she has anything. That's mm-hmm. So they're looking for something that doesn't exist. But again, the process is the punishment. They want to wear us down. And so I had this meeting with my attorneys this morning and it just fired me up. Like, you know what? I'm going to swear, but fuck these people.
Yeah.
Honestly, fuck these people. They are corrupt. criminals. I include the legacy media that is part of denying our press pass onto that. And like, no, I'm not going to let the bastards get me down. Absolutely not. Like, we'll fight till the bitter end if we have to. And the process is the punishment. Well, I got 3 days off a week. I got Friday, Saturday, and Sunday with no show, nothing to do but gather all that stuff to make sure our lawsuit can continue. So just wild.
Bring it.
Anyway, that's what's going on in my life. Comments from the live stream on socialists secretly loving government surveillance. Surveillance Country Guy says, drug dealers and people peddling stolen goods need their privacy too, Brandy, particularly on public property. Yeah, who needs, what is this privacy about? These cameras are in, like, crime areas. Mm-hmm. And the cops aren't doing anything with the footage. And look, do I trust the government, as we've just discussed? No. But I'm also not down on Third and Pine doing anything. Right. Like, the most they're going to catch me on camera is walking. Not. And if the government wants video of me walking at Third and Pine. So, yeah, I mean, I always want to make sure that surveillance video isn't being used for anything other than, you know, catching criminals. But at the same time, like, these are in high crime areas and we don't have enough police officers to patrol those areas. So this is a useful tool.
I just got a stupid ticket from Linwood of me not coming to a complete stop at a right-hand turn. Yeah, see, that stuff. That's ridiculous. So get rid of that camera and then you can talk to me about the drug cameras.
Yeah, Seattle police aren't using those cameras to, like, get jaywalkers. They're not prosecuting jaywalkers. They're out there trying to find people who are killing people, or like those two guys who beat that helpless old man for no reason. Yeah, the CCTV cameras were used for that.
To get them off the street so they didn't attack you.
Yeah. Weisscastle says, cut cameras, cut officers, and then brag about how crime is down. What a great system.
Jean says, what privacy concerns do you have in public?
Right. These are in public places. And if you don't, the government already knows everything you do and everywhere you go. So let's just cut the BS. They already know everything you do and everywhere you go.
Your phone, you give it to them.
Right.
You give it to it by signing on the dotted line.
Good grief.
Cell phone.
On the center square doing the state auditor's job, Leland Taylor says there's no innocent excuse. It's fraud and everyone knows it. Right. But if there is an innocent excuse, it's easy for the state to find. Carlene is not the one who's supposed to be judge, jury, and executioner. She's a reporter. She's done her job. She's exposed these inconsistencies. The state has to use its tools to figure out what's going on.
Again, I think it's just as simple as what you said. Just say thank you.
Just say thank
you. And say we're looking into it. We'll get back to you.
Our attention.
Instead of getting so stinking defensive and denying it exists.
No free commercials for Starbucks.
From Alice. It's hard to... they'll come after us for that.
You gotta pay for that, yeah.
Oh, Brandy's sponsored by Starbucks.
Alice says,
but if you want to sponsor us, I'm open to it. All right, carry on.
Alice says, it's hard to believe how much people object to audits of our state services. It's a responsibility to do it.
I know. We have a literal state auditor, elected position. Chris Lundstrom, we need face-to-face meetings. Skype and team meetings make people feel okay with lying. Yeah, I think that. But Carlene, I think, has been in the room with the state auditor before, hasn't she? But yeah, it's easier for them to just brush her off via Zoom.
From Jimmy, auditor schedule, get coffee, ignore email, tell secretary to read posts and make an executive summary, play a game, lunch.
Yeah, have lunch. I'm open to this new position being a bird dog on fraud, but I need to see it. We've requested an interview with this new position.
In the scheduling possibly phase.
Okay, I love it.
It's a maybe.
All right, on the public library coloring book, Greg says, I remember when people went to prison for child endangerment. Now they get praise and tax dollars. Make it make sense.
Yeah, it does not.
It doesn't.
On the school chief proposes life skills class. Beth says, OSPI will use this as an opportunity to indoctrinate the future voters to their side. Reichdahl is a scummy woke creep. He used the same soft pedaling when he tried to push through the sex ed.
Yes, 100%.
Absolutely. I mean, especially because that should be like a 2-week course. Here's how you fill out a resume. Here's how you fill out an application. Here's how you fill out financial aid. A year long course for these seniors. I think that's ridiculous.
I think it's something kids should learn throughout high school. It's like you have, you know, the home ec class that some of us learned. And I still remember some things. Like, I can do a basic stitch, you know, like with that kind of stuff. I still remember some stuff from home ec. There should be a built-in required course on financial literacy.
Oh, I agree. I do not disagree with that. Financial literacy should be a required course. That was actually a proposal by a Republican state
senator.
Representative that did not make it, I believe. Yeah. But I think that Reichdahl, that list of things that it includes is fairly similar, yeah, or like very short, and I don't think it takes a year for those things. So what, yeah, are you going to spend the other time doing?
And like, and show me that you care about kids learning in the first place.
Why don't you just work that into the curriculum of a English class or a math, yeah, class or a whatever? Work that in instead of some of the other stupid crap, yeah, that you're putting in there, like trans identity crap.
I agree. All right, two super chats, both about our fight with the state. Matthew Cook says, F these bastards fund. Thank you. Papa Woody, $5 because your show and followers scares them, Brandy. Keep it up, and we will keep bringing new members in, sister. I appreciate it. But like, one, thanks, of the things is like they want a list of members. I'm like, no. So there's stuff we're not going to give them because then the Seattle Times, like, no, that's a privacy issue. We're not doing that. We can object to some of these things, right, and we won't have to turn them over. But there is a point where I might do like some sort of GoFundMe for legal fees if they really start to mount up. But like the Citizen Action Defense Fund is handling the legal fees, mm-hmm, for our press pass lawsuit, which are going to mount. So definitely I would say donate to the Citizen Action Defense Fund because, yeah, one of their biggest single costs right now is the press pass lawsuit. We're not paying a dime for the press pass lawsuit. And so I just am filled with gratitude for donors to the Citizen Action Defense Fund. It's the PDC things that we have to represent ourselves individually. And our attorney's fees haven't been astronomical for that. And so that's something that we're just handling because that's a cost of doing business. You do this, that's a cost of doing business, right? But if they really try to come after us, I mean, we might need help, but we don't right now. We're fine. What am I doing? Nicole, help me. Oh,
sanity,
okay.
Check.
Sanity check. Oh, yeah. Okay. First, our friend Zach Abraham is having another one of his free live webinars. It's coming up January. Good grief. Brandy, get a hold of yourself. July 23rd, 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. Could the market's biggest blind spots be impacting your retirement and putting it at risk? Investors and advisors, they're focused on AI and inflation. There's all these conflicting headlines out there about that, what's happening in Iran. So the real risk to your portfolio could be something that the market and the headlines aren't seeing and aren't paying attention to. So join Bulwark Capital, Zach Abraham, for his free market blind spot webinar. Again, July 23rd, 3:30 p.m. Pacific time. Totally free. Go to Know Your Risk Podcast. KnowYourRiskPodcast.com. Sign up for the webinar. While you're there, make sure you follow Zach and Bulwark across social media platforms. KnowYourRiskPodcast.com. And with that, take a breath, Brandy. Let's get to our closing sanity check. All right, our friend Jason Rance. We haven't had Jason on in a long time. We need to give Jason some love. He's, of course, does these, what is the show on CNN with Abby Phillips? Or she just has like two sides that just yell at each other, yeah, like a panel. And then she also yells at the conservative guests and lets the Democratic guests get away with absolutely everything. But Jason was on that panel. They were talking about the Graham Plattner situation, you know, credibly accused of rape. And so now Democrats are, you know, pushing him aside as they should. And Ann Navarro said something that Jason just could not let stand.
Trump changed the way we see these things now, right? Because he confronted so many scandals that would have taken out any normal mortal candidate, and he just rode them out. So I think he has affected the way people think about writing scandals out. We all grew up at a time when there was a scandal, there was a mistress, there was, you know, a rape allegation, anything like this, and the person would be having a press conference the next day and getting out. I think Trump changed the dynamics of that. But you know what? It doesn't work in the Democratic Party. This guy is not going to get support. He's not going to get donations. He's not going to win. He's going to drag the entire thing down. And so he better get out and get out now.
I do seem to remember Bill Clinton surviving right. a pretty damning scandal. That was
after he was elected. After he was elected.
Oh, but so that's the only reason? Because he was elected, he's going to get a pass? I mean, he's still being featured by the Democratic Party. He still speaks at DNC conventions.
Yeah. So let's not act like Democrats are perfect and Democrats always distance themselves from sexual predators. No, you got old JFK. Blowy Bill. Right. Give me a break. Come on. So, yeah, I mean, let's get over this whole pretend that either party is perfect and either party has a perfect record of distancing themselves from predators. So that has been our closing sanity check. That has been today's episode of Undivided. Love you guys. Appreciate you guys. Thank you for being here with us on this long, difficult journey to give common sense a comeback. What else? I think that's it. Go to undividedpod.com. Check out our merch store, too. We've got some merch bags. You can let your common sense flag fly. Got bags, hats, stickers. Go to undividedpod.com. And if you become a subscriber, you get $5 off our merch store. So your first month of being a subscriber basically pays for itself. You get sent a promo code when you sign up. Undividedpod.com. Click on the banner that says support the show. We'll see you tomorrow for our final live show of the week.